Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I'm here. So we can deduce a couple things. First, it must be Friday. And second, my schedule must not have completely fallen apart overnight or this morning. So go team BTN. And then we don't have to deduce this part. It's just a given fact. When we're here for the Mac Show on Fridays, well, and on the Big Show for Thursdays, these are high points of my week because I get to hang out with super cool people, and they all tolerate having me here, and we get to have fun discussions and just start our weekends with something happy. So, yeah, I'm glad we're all here. Let's see who we have. Oh, we have a newcomer, our reigning king, Ben. How are you?
My knee did completely come apart, but fortunately it is now getting better to the point where I can actually walk down these steps and use my Mac.
Well, it is great to have you back, and I'm glad that you're on the mend, and especially glad that we didn't have to invoke a long-standing American tradition, which is when there's a leg problem, you just take them out behind the barn and put them down and put them out of their misery. So I'm so glad you're with us.
Jeff, I will never be deposed.
No, I don't think you will. And you have the throne to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, like I said, it's great to have you back. We missed you. And Marty, how's it going for you?
Fridays are good because I get to be here. This is kind of the end of my week, but I spent the morning in a college meeting where if you've been following American politics, you know how much the new administration appreciates collegiate education.
Oh, they're all about mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got the wife of the World Wrestling Federation head in charge of education. And when referring to AI last week, she referred to it as A1. Like the steak sauce.
A1. Yeah. It's how education is done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be, A1 is going to be the future of education in America. So, there's a little frustration in my life, but this is the fun part.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad we're all here. And,
now I want a steak.
Well, it's the tasty part of education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I believe that the cattle industry has come up with a new catchphrase: beef with A1. It's what's for your diploma.
Yeah. Well, eating your own always tastes better when you have some steak sauce to go with it.
That's so true. Yep.
I thought you would say eating yourself your own weight in burgers always is a good idea. No.
Well, I mean that's just an American way of life.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I shouldn't have put tea in this morning. It should have been bourbon.
It actually should have been.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Well, you know, because America, yeah, herp derp derp. At the opposite end of that spectrum, where we have intelligence and wisdom and beauty, Patrice, how are you?
You're talking about me? Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of tuned out when you talked.
Were you somebody new?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm good. Public holiday yesterday here, so there's what they call here a bridging day or a window day, basically a day off in between public holiday. It's kind of like Black Friday in the U.S., it's like not a lot of people working unless you're in retail or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went shopping. It's part of the reason why I was late. I have like a whole thing behind me of clothes that I bought. Spent money, of course. But yeah, it was good. just had to rush back a little bit. But yeah, it's been a good day. It's beautiful, sunny. It's really hot. It's like 27 degrees Celsius, so like about 80 somewhere Fahrenheit. Yeah, 80 something, 83, 84. So it's hot, but it's okay.
You have a temperature right now, Patrice, that is very close to double what the temperature is for me right now.
Should I share some, and then like we meet in the middle, and it's fine for both of us?
Perfect.
Yes. And, sounds like. And I'm right in the middle.
You're right in the middle. So we just meet at Ben's place. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. We're at 60 and somewhat still misty.
Hmm.
So what I'm hearing is we're making a Ben weather sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should just move Ben's state over to Canada, and then I'll come join you.
All right, road trip for Iowa. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. I mean, it's
yeah.
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 You got that down. You got that down.
So, but that raises a question because. Iowa has the best corn in the world.
Yes, this is a fact. I mean,
this is a fact. You want to have corn on the cob that is like eating candy, but not in candy corn way. You go and get your corn fresh in Iowa.
Yes.
It is
the best genetically engineered corn.
Right? Right? I mean, okay, technically, all the corn we eat is genetically engineered and has been for a few thousand years.
That's true.
It's just people think of it more in a lab way as opposed to a...
humans just messed with the plants until it worked how they wanted.
Right.
That means we're genetically engineered too, I guess.
That we are, yes.
Yeah. Oh, new pickup line. Hey, I need you to genetically engineer me because I need my body messed with.
Is that what Elon uses?
You're on a roll, Jeff. You're on a roll.
I'm not getting any. Yep.
Isn't that the line that Elon uses, though?
Probably.
Would you like my, I need to spread my jeans around?
Mm-hmm. That's poor women.
You know, if you're not wearing jeans, you don't have to worry about spreading them.
Yeah.
I should just leave right now. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should talk about something other than the pants-free lifestyle.
Maybe, or maybe not. Yeah, I really should have put bourbon instead of tea in this mug today.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
sounding
me,
more
this,
and more like a good idea. You want to go
this
grab it? We'll talk.
Drunk.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little.
Bourbon. It's what's for breakfast. Okay. Well, then let's talk about the obligatory story, which is Apple's earning report. And the fast rundown of the numbers, $95.4 billion in revenue. So that's up 5% year over year.
More than predicted. More than even, I think, on the upper end of what Apple predicted.
Mm-hmm. And Mac revenue, that's up 7%. iPad revenue's up 15%.
15.
iPhone revenue's up 2%. Services is up 12%. Wearables and home and accessories, that's down 5%. So when you look at the percentages year over year, we're looking at most stuff is up. Mm-hmm. iPhones are still flat, and then our wearables and home and accessories category dipped a little bit.
Yeah, I mean variables. Apple talked about a little bit. They had last year a lot of releases in the first quarter. Or second quarter in this case, because Apple starts with the Christmas quarter, like the Vision Pro and I think also AirPods Pro, I think, something like that. So this year, of course, they didn't. So that's a little bit harder to compare that way. And like, I think overall, if that hadn't happened, it would be more or less flat, probably, or maybe a little bit up.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
I guess.
I think of it
Oh,
as
go
some
ahead.
of these things are you're not going to cycle every year.
Yes.
But people aren't necessarily going to buy watches every year. They're not, as long as they don't lose their AirPods, they're not going to, they're happy. They're going to not upgrade with them. And certainly without a new vision device out, that's not going to impact.
Yeah, I think the Vision Pro is the exception in this case. Most other devices, because they've been around for so long, people are in different phases of the cycles. So, like, you might not upgrade every year or every even 2 years or 3 years, but over time that kind of evens out, and like everybody's upgrading at some point, and so the numbers. I mean, we've seen that with the iPhone. The numbers are still up and are still going up, even though most people don't upgrade every year like we do, maybe. Yeah, but the Vision Pro is an exception because there's only one, and like nobody would be buying a second one right now, I think.
Yeah, I had to sit there and think about it for a moment, and yep, I think you're right. Most people are not going to buy two.
Yeah, I mean,
I
maybe they
know
might.
someone that would.
No, there's people that would buy a second one for their spouse, but there's no version two or whatever where you could be, oh, I should upgrade. So that, I mean, the product is only a year old, really.
Okay, so when we look at the percentages for these numbers, this is where I see Apple's long-term game really showing up. So iPhone accounts for 49% of revenue. Services is still growing. It's at 28%. And this is exactly what I expect to be seeing, because their long-term plan is to have something that takes over as the primary revenue generator when iPhone isn't that. So, which is not to say iPhone's going away or iPhone sales are going to tank, but there's a point where Apple will see, or what they do see, there will be a point when they need to have something that can generate more than iPhone, and that's services.
They will need a point where the planet is finite and they need something else, right? Because at some point nobody is buying, or I mean, no, people will still be buying a shit ton of iPhones, but it's just not it's not growing anymore. And you know, Wall Street is all about growth.
The problem is Apple cannot invent more people to buy their phones,
I mean, they're
which is
working
probably
on
why they're getting into, which is why they're getting
it.
into robotics.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like, I mean, what was it? Any like every like if someone believes in infinite growth on a finite planet, they're either mad or they're economists. So I think someone said that. I don't remember who. Yeah,
Okay, that's awesome.
but it's, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it was predicted. The interesting thing is services is growing pretty predictably and steadily. That which is, I mean, that shows a lot of skill to do that. I mean, yeah, there's always people where you're like, okay, we can sell them more and they will buy it. But to keep that going in this economic time with everything that has happened the last many, many, many years is pretty impressive, I would say.
I was brought into the Apple ecosystem a while ago with the understanding it's the hardware, and they kind of build the software to run on the hardware. And now it's, for whatever good reason, they are shifting away from the emphasis on the hardware and more into the services part of it. So it's just interesting to me over the years how it's evolved as a company. And I imagine there are companies that don't make that evolution and wind up dwindling away to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Apple has, and I don't think Apple's hardware is going away, and I think they're gonna continue. I mean, if they can, they will continue the hardware trend and being like on the forefront. I mean, the Vision Pro is a good example of that, and the Apple Watch and whatever. They're gonna continue that trend, but it's not the risk that Apple has right now is, as you said, Jeff, it's 50% of their revenue is iPhone. If anything happens to that, like, I don't know, they can't produce them, tariffs, like all whatever is happening right now. That is a pretty big chunk of the company, basically. And if they can have a second, maybe equally as big part that's maybe not hardware related, but services that are easier, like not as they're not as reliant on, can I ship this chip? Can I improve this chip? Can I whatever? Can I do all of the things that I have to do for hardware? I think that would be good for them because it's kind of they're not betting everything on one horse, basically. Doesn't mean that the iPhone won't be around or the next thing will replace the iPhone, whatever that is. I don't know, brain implants, whatever that is.
Patrice, yes, nailed it. And I will just add one little tidbit on top of that. It is much easier to excuse me, to have a stable revenue coming in when you're offering a service that has recurring payments
Oh, yes.
versus needing to sell someone a new piece of hardware on a regular basis.
Yes. It's probably easier. I mean, it's still not easy because I mean, you still have to show recurring value. Otherwise, you get the thing that a lot of streaming services have struggled with, where it's like, okay, people like join, pay for a month or two, binge all the shows they want to binge, and then it canceled again, which is not very stable then. But I think Apple has been so far, I mean, as we can see in the numbers, pretty good.
Yeah, I think of Apple TV content or TV Plus content, and it when that was platform was first launched, it was like, whoa, they don't have a lot of content. They've got a, but now if you look at the, you know, the thing that comes out that says this is what's on Apple TV this month.
So
You're
much.
seeing constantly seeing new content, which is great. And then a large library of past content I haven't gotten to yet, you know, that I want to get to.
Same.
So.
There's entire shows now that I still want to watch that I haven't gotten around to. I want to address kind of the elephant in the room though, because in this whole discussion in during the earnings call, I just listened to it this morning. I think the big topic was, of course, all the tariffs and the impact of the tariffs and the exchange rate, because I kind of connected those two in a sense. But it was really interesting to see how Apple would talk about that, how they would address it, and I think they picked a very sensible way. They didn't really talk politics. They're like, well, we did, basically Tim said, yeah, well, we also don't know what's happening. We can't predict the future. We're for this quarter basically producing all the phones and everything in I think India, he said. So we're good there. Also dropped a little bit, I think, whether it was him or the CFO, that they've actually been producing ahead. So they increased channel inventory a little bit and shipped it already, so they would basically preempt the tariffs. They're anyway in an exception category for now, but that could change as everything. So they try to forecast for the June quarter what it would look like, and there is an impact that they're seeing. But they also don't know what they don't know. So they were pushing, I mean, the journalists are pushing a little bit and saying, hey, like, okay, June quarter, yes. How's it looking in the September quarter? And Tibble said, yeah, don't know. Could be better, could be worse. We don't know.
Apple doesn't generally project anything out in terms of quarters, just historically. That's been the way they've kind of did their earnings report, and they stay in the moment with it. They were very clear that they've looked at the numbers. And whether you think it's political or not, I think it's political when somebody says, this is going to cost us $900 million.
Yes.
That was
That's
the one statement.
astronomical.
Yes.
You know, with no politics intended, this is what these actions will cost us.
Yes.
And Apple also has the convenience that a lot of companies don't have. They have availability in other countries to produce stuff
Yes.
and the one that's been producing it for us a lot. And so it's like whack-a-mole. Okay, give us a tariff over here. We'll switch to another, another place and produce them and try to minimize the impact on us and potentially on consumers.
Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely.
And also to say this as politically neutral as possible. Usually economic policies are slow moving and predictable.
Yes.
That has not been the case so far. Tariffs seem to go come and go daily.
And that's what Tim basically like talked about. He was like, I mean, they based on what they have today, what they know today, what is set in whatever orders and talked about today, they've tried to predict June quarter. But that could change in like the next 5 minutes. And I mean, they always say that those forward-looking statements are they're forward-looking. They will not update them later on, so they're like take them as more informational. They always say that in the beginning. But I think it, in the, especially in this case, it's true. And Tim also pointed out that, I mean, they're producing right now in India. They see it also happening in the next quarter, but they also can't predict if the way tariffs are calculated or applied changes, and then it's like, oh, it doesn't matter where it's coming from. You're producing iPhones, and so the tariff is X because you're producing in China. Whatever the reasoning is behind it, doesn't matter. And he said so. He's like, yeah, I mean that the way it is done right now is by country, so we can shift around. But if that changes, well, then we'll have to deal with it.
When Apple gives their quarterly guidance at earnings reports, to me, it's like when your instructor in a class says, "This is what's on the test, and you better pay attention because they're giving you the critical information you need to yeah."
And that's
Yeah.
the more important part. I mean, it's the number itself is interesting a little bit to say, okay, what are they predicting? What's the range or whatever? Because you can read sometimes into that, okay, like what were they seeing like in foreign exchange headwinds and whatever. But more important is the context they give you, where they say, okay, like the tariffs and foreign exchange is a problem because the dollar is weaker and like this is happening, that is happening, I don't know, there's a factory down or whatever it is, COVID happens, all of that. They give you context, and that's more interesting and more important than the actual number. Yeah, and I mean they know their business. I mean Tim Cook has been at this for such a long time. They know what they're talking about. They can't predict the future, but they know how to handle it. Also, maybe also good to know, the rest of the world is basically getting the Chinese phones right now. With some exception. Now, with some exceptions. I mean, in India, they still have to sell. I think they still have to sell them in India, for example, because otherwise they would get tariffs there. I think same for Brazil. So there's this, at least a certain percentage that stay in those countries. But they basically flat out said, it's like, okay, like we're shipping from India to the US. The rest of the world is getting Chinese iPhones. As before. I mean, it's not a surprise.
Yeah, not a surprise. Okay, so before we move on, we should also talk about AI. And
Alan
I
Iverson.
yes. I don't even get the joke, but I'm rolling with it because I'm sure it was clever. Let's see, where's oh yeah, Kramer. Richard Kramer.
Matt
Instead
Cosmo.
of, yeah, not that one. Yep, the other one. The question he asked about AI was not the usual, what are your plans, blah blah blah. No, he straight up asked, what's up with Apple completely failing to deliver on their AI promises? Good for him.
Yeah, someone had to ask that question.
But seriously, I mean, just straight up asking that instead of kind of dancing around it, that was great. And so Tim, he gave some of the usual sort of marketing talk about it. But then he also did say that that the features that they want to offer aren't up to Apple standards, which is Apple and Tim Cook speak for this doesn't work.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Ooh, yeah, we done messed up.
Yeah. <that's funny. laughs> Yeah. And he did say that they are making progress, and that and he did say something to the effect of we're looking forward to rolling out the features to our users. Saying they're making progress in an earnings report, you better really be making progress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are in an earnings report lying,
yep.
And that comes trouble. Out at some point, that yep. will get you in trouble.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So
but
the
I mean,
statements
progress
that you
means,
made were important
yeah.
there.
Yeah, but I mean, progress can mean a lot of things.
Oh, of course.
It's like, I don't know, yesterday it was failing 100% of the time, and today it's failing 99.99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Eh? Okay,
that's progress. Yeah. So, but people are noticing that Apple has really stumbled in this space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is unusual, but also not unheard of.
I'm going to be a gentler soul on this one. I think there have been some reports that have come out this week that explains how Apple's doing its network and how it's and some
mm-hmm.
partners they're working with to establish what they want to do mm-hmm. with Apple Intelligence. And that's been, I think, an indication that they're rebuilding this thing from the ground up because it didn't work the way it was intended to work. My guess is they could have got it to work like any other LLM that was out there, but not with the Apple context and with the security issues. So he's right. It didn't. The product did not meet up to Apple's standards, given the context that Apple wants to have mm-hmm. the product do. So I might be a little more forgiving on that. You know, they spent a lot of time trying to get it to work on a platform in a way that it wouldn't work, and now they've just restarted that. And I'm optimistic. I think it does some of the things that. You know, and they define Apple they define artificial intelligence in a very broad way. I think we mm-hmm. identify it and expect something like a complicated LLM that's going to do problem solving, mm-hmm. writing, all of that stuff. They're happy to say AI is, well, you can erase that part of your picture. that's AI, and to a degree it is. But I think our thinking is it's got to be our personal thinking assistant for us. It's not there yet, particularly when it's dealing with security issues and within our personal context, and we're not using non-anonymous outside sources of information, so they don't know what they're getting from us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair. And I am less forgiving because Apple showed us features that they said were going to be part of the current version of iOS.
That didn't exist.
That didn't even exist. And it makes it hard for me to give them a pass. No. If they had shown us the stuff that does work, and that's it, and rolled that out, then I would be less critical of Apple's position in the AI game today than I am.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm with you. We've talked about this in the shows before. No, I'm with you on that one. I mean, I still think Apple has a higher standard, and once more, like Marty said, mm-hmm. and because and I know that because I've talked to two people in their AI teams in the past, so I know they I mean, one, they have a heck of a lot of knowledge, but they also, they have like pretty high standards and high goals. And because of that, it's even more baffling what happened, where they basically showed and advertised, and like something that wasn't real at all.
Yeah.
At least not to that level that they showed.
Now,
Yeah,
Bob Beach in the
this.
chat is saying he doesn't care about Apple Intelligence. It doesn't affect
It's
his
fine.
buying decisions. I think that's true for a lot of
Oh, yeah.
people.
Me too.
But ultimately, if you're advertising features that don't work or don't exist, it doesn't matter if those features would have had any impact on your buying choices. It's misleading. And it's,
It will have a long-term effect. I mean, it might not have
yes.
any immediate effect, right? Because people buy the things they like. But I think long-term, if that happens, I mean, this was kind of a one-time thing, so maybe okay. But if this
Yeah.
keeps happening, people will lose trust in what Apple says. And that
Yeah,
is
was
a
this an
major problem.
internal? Yeah, I mean, was this an internal issue? Did marketing get ahead of R&D?
We don't
Well,
know. I mean,
Mark, yeah. I mean, this was obviously a decision that was made with marketing and financials in mind, rather than, and I mean, maybe the
The
ex-Google guy,
C-suite signed off on
yeah.
it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, it wasn't even Tim who presented it. I don't remember, but like it was definitely high level presentation. It was WWDC, like the keynote of the year. Like they signed off on it, and I think I don't know if it was Gruber or someone who said that, but I think this was a problem of. I think this is a result, maybe, or at least linked with the videos. Because it is harder to, I mean, not impossible, but harder to do this when you have to show it on stage live. Yeah, you could have also played a video there, yes, but usually that would be a pretty big sign if they're like, hey, here's a video, but we're not showing it to you. So you think because it's just easier in a video like that. You can finesse everything however you want. Which is probably why Apple likes those videos.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we've talked a ton about this.
Yes.
There's another big topic that I want to make sure we hit before we wrap up. And at the rate we're going, I think we're
That's
probably doing a
it.
two-topic show today.
Yes, I think so.
And this is the news that Apple did change their App Store guidelines so that you can do external payments.
They had
The so
to.
the they had to. The switch flipped yesterday as we record. So that would be it happened on May 1st. And immediately after that, well, not immediately, but practically speaking, immediately after that, Epic, they rolled out their updated app that for Epic Games that supports
I mean, Epic was
external
ready.
sales leaks. Oh, they were
Epic was
ready.
ready, of course. I mean, they knew that. Like, I mean, to also because they've been doing it in the EU, so it's not a surprise. No, this
Right.
the email was really surprising when I got the email. I think I sent it to you, Jeff, from Apple about the rule changes. I mean, like to be precise, they're in the US only. So this
Oh,
does
yes,
not
I'm sorry,
affect
I didn't
any
specify.
other place. I mean, in the EU we have with the DMA anyway rules like this already in place, and Apple just has been fined by the EU, I think 500 million, because they were kind of doing the same thing that they're doing in the US, and the EU said no, that's not enough. But yeah, that was, I mean, they were ordered by a judge that they could not have those scare screens. They could not prevent people from using their own payment systems. They like especially not charging them then 27% commission, basically. Like all
Yes.
the stupid shit Apple was doing, they
Yep.
didn't let that go, and I'm actually quite happy they didn't.
Yes, a VP might be going to prison.
We'll see about that, yes.
Yeah, I don't think that'll
No.
happen, but it doesn't make what you just said, Ben, wrong.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing how quickly companies can change stuff
Uh-huh.
when the words criminal contempt are used.
Yes. No, I mean, Apple was ready for this. They had anyway done it for the EU already. I'm pretty sure they knew this could happen and had already put everything in place and literally just had to flip a switch. I mean, to be also honest, there's not a lot they had to do for this, right? Because okay, you don't need to have the entitlements and the scare screens anymore. Is mostly a okay, App Store you can just submit it, and App Store review will just not bounce you when you don't do that anymore. Right? Before, if you skip that, it would come back from review and say, well, you're required to have this entitlement and this scare screen. Now you submit it and they just let it pass. So not a big deal. There's not a lot of implementation they had to change there. It's mostly actually on the developers now because they have to do that if they want to use it, which, as you said, Epic was ready.
Now, this doesn't mean this is the end of this in the
Oh
United
no.
States. Because Apple has said that they disagree with the rulings,
Yes.
they're going to appeal.
Of course.
I believe Apple is prepared to go all the way to
Yes.
through appeals to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary.
And they're going to lose that battle at the end. But they're going to try. I mean, who knows? Things can change, opinions can change, money can change. No. I almost
It's
said money can change hands. Now it's a different country, maybe. Maybe not.
But you never
You
know.
never know.
Just to be clear, we are not saying that any federal judges or Supreme Court justices are corrupt.
No,
Wink.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's, yeah, no, whatever. That doesn't matter. But things can change. So, of course, Apple is gonna, I mean, they can afford it, and they're, of course, gonna fight anything they can, anything to protect everything. But I think Apple also should realize at some point, I'm not sure what winning for them looks like in this situation. I think they're, the public, I don't know if the public cares too much about it, but I think the people who care, I think the opinion is pretty much on the judge's side. So I think Apple will have to, I mean, they will probably try and consider it and see if they're going to fight it. But I think Apple has to think about that as well and say, okay, if we keep going, we're going to look pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the developer social media accounts, Phil Schiller has pretty much become a folk hero.
Yeah, I
Patrice.
don't.
Oh, go ahead, Marty. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if the Supreme Court is not going to support Apple. I mean, with the current Supreme Court that we have in the US, it's quite possible that they might support their objections to this in the sense of outside the country, businesses and entity political entities influencing business choices within with in the within the country the US country. So I
But it's within the country, right? It's US businesses being allowed to do their own payments and whatever. It's not, it has nothing to do with the outside, actually. It's like with if you are in the US, you want to operate there, right? So far you had to follow Apple's rules and give them a ton of money and all of that, and they changed or have scare screens, all of that. Now you don't.
Yeah, well, I still think they're going to see it as undue influence in Apple's business plan.
Where was that judge? So I think you're right. There's a question to be asked here, like how where is it going to go? But I think it will also depend on kind of the leanings of the judge who ordered it. And I think that's about what we're going to say about that. We'll see. We'll see. But as I said, I think for Apple, whether the Supreme Court, whether they could win ultimately or not, I think they have to look at the big picture and at the whole story and say, all right, what is winning going to look like for us? I mean, yeah, maybe we win at the end and Supreme Court says, yeah, this is fine and we could make more money, but people are not going to like us. Is that worth it?
I think for Apple, a win in this battle at this point is
Is a loss.
they manage to get a percentage of the sale.
Yeah, there could be,
And
and maybe that's what they're pushing
that's
for. They're like, okay, we're okay. Let's compromise somewhere. That could happen.
yeah.
The judge was an Obama appointee
Yeah, okay. So
back in
then
2011.
yeah, okay, then it's
And
possible.
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. It's too early to say, like, but I'm yeah, Apple has the money to fight this till the end if they want to.
Of course. Yeah, they could. Yes, they do.
And I mean, all of this might be moot if Congress sets up new rules and says, okay, like the DMA, like what the EU did, and simply says, okay, these are the rules, and screw you, Apple. That could also happen.
Yeah, that, yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's less likely, to be honest, but different story.
All right. So, speaking of stories, I didn't point out at the beginning of the show that that Dave Ginsburg does the heavy lifting for us by letting us crib from his show notes from In Touch with iOS. So thank you, Dave, for having the collection of articles that we needed to drop into our live chat so that people could follow along with the stories we're discussing. So thank you, Dave. Speaking of the live chat, hey, Patrice, since you're just so awesome at talking about the live chat and explaining it, do you mind doing that?
I don't mind at all because I was literally just writing a message in chat to Bob Beach. We have a really cool live chat when we're streaming this show live every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show at live.britishtechnetwork.com. Then you can join the live chat, and it's very easy. There's the live stream on the left and the chat on the right. It generates a really cool name like the Modest Röntgen. Modest Röntgen. But if you want to change that name, just click on the purple thing up top, purple button with change name. There's an option there. Change it to whatever you want. That's how easy it is. And you can just start typing.
Patrice, I'm interrupting only because I think you missed seeing an even more epic name,
I did.
Goofy Beardo.
Goofy Beardo. Oh, that's funny. Yes,
Yeah.
that's a good one. Pedantic Reznor is also good. Yeah, it has really good names. It's really funny sometimes. Goofy Beardo. Interesting. Could be from, I don't know, Minnesota maybe. I don't know.
You never know.
Oh, it's a real Benary Thick. What a strange can. Funny.
Opposed to fake one.
Yes. So Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time, usually for the big show, except for yesterday because kind of ran out of hosts and people. But usually we also have that show. There's a live transcript of this show, of this sort of the chat. If you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, there is a calendar on the page. You select the date and it will show you the transcript or chat transcript for that day. Usually it's Thursdays and Fridays. So for today, May 2nd, 2025. That would be the date. If you select that, you will see everything that we talked about. For example, the links to all the stories, to the cool things that are coming up, all of that.
Awesome. Excuse me. Thank you, Patrice. And I'm going to add to that the hard work you put into giving us a new live stream and live chat system is absolutely awesome. And what you did actually set it up so even I can talk about the live chat and sound relatively intelligent when I do it. So,
That's good. It's a really good
yeah,
system, like open source
it
tool.
is.
It's a really good system.
Yep. So awesome. Okay, now let's do some cool things. And it looks like Ben, excuse me, you have the first cool thing.
Yes, I do. And this one actually might be slightly controversial. Okay. There is a Apple you member of the community called the Basic Apple Guy. And Basic Apple Guy creates a number of stickers, including basically M1 or Intel inspired M1 series inside stickers to go on your Macs.
Why would you do that?
And There is now one permanently affixed to my M1 Pro MacBook Pro.
Okay, why would you put an Intel sticker on your MacBook Pro, on your M1? Ben,
Irony?
explain it.
Well, it. I don't know. It's. To me, it kind of goes back to the old.
Back in the good
The
old
old.
days, like
The good old Hackintosh days.
Okay. Well, okay, I can see that. I thought you would say
Where I
back in the
would.
back good old days in like 1987.
Yes. Where I literally on the Hackintosh tower I had replaced the Windows logo with the Finder sticker.
Ooh, that's cool. I like that.
But I don't know. It, like I said, this is controversial. A lot of people like the clean, no sticker look
Yes, I do.
of the MacBooks. But I have to say, these are really good quality stickers. So if you want to put them at a place other than your MacBook, they fit good there too. But I do have to say, I really like the M the my blue M1 Pro inside sticker.
I mean, it is a cool idea, I have to say.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff there. Yep. Awesome.
There's also traditional Apple color coffee mug stickers.
Yep.
That I could
And
get behind.
yes, and the sticker nobody wants, Apple Intelligence inside.
Well, if you cross out intelligence, then maybe.
Yeah. See, what I really liked is what, God. What was it? God, what was it? Gruber who said it? Duke Nukem Intelligence.
That's funny. They have some cool
the
shit.
the one that I'm interested in now that I'm scanning through this stuff. The stripe skater, li living in Colorado and spending a lot of time in the mountains in the winter, you have a gator. And so basically, it's like a big tube, fabric tube, stretchy fabric tube. You pull it over your head and it's around your neck. And then you can pull it up and have it cover your face, you know, like a wind mask thing. You could pull it up so it's like a hood. It's a really versatile way to give yourself a little insulation layer and a little wind blocking. And so, of course, everyone that you see, like up on the ski slopes or backcountry on skis or snowboards or snowshoes, they probably have a gator on. And so finding cool gaiters that you can wear is a thing. And yeah, this one for $22, presumably before tariffs,
Yeah, probably.
because it's coming from Canada.
Yes, yeah, and these
Yeah.
are
So,
Canadian dollar prices, not US dollar.
good.
So
That
they're
makes it easier
considerably
for me.
cheaper.
Yeah. I was thinking you were talking about an alligator, and I'm like, why would you put an alligator around your neck? Okay, now I got it. I saw it. I was like, oh, okay, that
That's
makes
a
sense.
Florida thing.
That's a
Now it all
Florida
makes
thing.
sense.
Okay, and now it all makes sense. Yeah, this is not a Florida thing. They
Yeah,
have really
th
cool
think of it like
t-shirts
a.
as well.
They
But yeah.
do, yeah. Yeah, and for those of you that still aren't picturing the gator thing, think of it like a scarf that you don't have to wrap around. You just pull it over your head and it's not going to fall off.
Yeah. No, I have something like that, so it's very useful sometimes. Yeah,
Yeah,
they
they're
have
great.
like the Let Tim Cook t-shirt is pretty fun. I also like
Yeah,
the infinite loop kind of. It's really
when I look
cool.
at t-shirts, I look at what sizes they are available in, and they never quite have my size. It's kind of sad.
For me, it's more I look at them and then I'm like, yeah, I barely ever wear t-shirts, so yeah, I'm not
Yeah.
buying them.
We need to get Patrice the Apple dress.
That would be cool. I would so buy that.
That would be cool. Yeah. Okay, cool. So, Marty, tell us about your cool thing.
Well, just to kind of, I'll tell you about the cool thing in a minute, but I worked with a bunch of international teachers who came to my university, and they had to make a decision when they came here whether they were going to get a Mac or whether they were going to get a Lenovo computer. And yeah, and this was years ago.
Okay.
And they said, well, we're going to go the cheap route because we want to save the money for other stuff. And they got a Lenovo computer. And then as people started buying Mac stuff, the folks with the Lenovo computers asked for the Mac stickers so they could stick it on the back of their computer so it looked
Yeah.
like they had a black Mac.
Oh, I've seen so many of
Because they
those.
realized pretty quickly that
They
they
really
were
wanted a
in
Mac.
dangerous territory. They
Yeah.
wanted, they
Yeah.
would have wanted a Mac.
Yeah.
My cool thing is a GL.inet portable travel router. And I know this was part of Chuck's, Christmas shopping this
Yes.
last year.
Yes.
And
Pilot Pete picked it on the episode I was on.
I went back to look for that because I knew I needed one. My son is spending time in Las Vegas doing some work out there, actually helping build the stage structure for Mr. Beast.
Ooh.
Apparently, he's doing a show
Wow.
out there.
Wow.
And his buddy does all these stage stuff. So he's out there earning some cash. And the problem is he's staying in a hotel and the Wi-Fi is not so good, or it could not be good. And so I sent him out with one of these things because we do a podcast, Gear Up and Go. And I said, go ahead and use this thing and see what it's like and whether it's going to help you with Ethernet. But it's pretty cool. It does Wi-Fi 6. It uses OpenVPN and WireGuard, and it's has some really good speeds. I went ahead and purchased one and sent it to him, and then realized why is he having all the fun,
You shouldn't
and
want to.
purchased
Yes.
one for myself.
Yes.
So I haven't tried this out yet, but on the endorsement of Chuck Show Pilot Pete. I'm excited to see how it does in terms of getting safer and better speed internet through the Ethernet, because I got a couple of trips planned in the next couple of weeks before my son comes back. So
It's
that's my cool thing.
You're gonna get an endorsement right here because after that show, like when Pete picked it, I bought one, and I love it. I have Tailscale on it, so it connects to my Tailscale network, and I'm traveling every time with it. I'm traveling every month, so and it's like it's so versatile. Like I mean, you can literally like I don't even bother with the hotel Wi-Fi anymore. Like I plop this thing up in my hotel room, make sure that it connects to the hotel Wi-Fi, or if that sucks, to just to 5G or whatever is available, because you can literally just plug in a 5G modem or something, and it will take care of that. Or if there is a Ethernet plug, you can use that. Like it just has so many options how it can connect. And then all my devices, like everyone, I'm traveling with a lot of them, they just connect to that. I don't even bother with going around it and all the stupid portals, captive portals you have to do on all devices every day and whatever. I don't even bother with it. The cool thing is if I don't know, it the hotel Wi-Fi expires and you have to log in again, one of your devices, the first one you use, will pop that up. You just click, yeah, yes, connect, please, done. And then it's done again. So it's like it's pretty smart in what it does. Instead of with Tailscale or VPN or whatever you want to use, it's super secure as well. So highly, highly recommend it. And it's so small. It's small but powerful. I mean, the other thing is you can plop like if the Wi-Fi is, I don't know, it's good maybe at the desk or next to the door or whatever, but it's not good at your bed or wherever you're on the sofa, whatever it's in your hotel room. Well, this solves it. Put it where you have good reception, and then it just rebroadcasts it. So
Yeah,
it's the
all the
best you
stuff
can
I
do.
need for it, I've got into a ditty bag waiting for my trip that I think happens in
Perfect.
10 days. So
Perfect. Yeah, it's really
nice.
good. And it's like, what is it, 85, $86, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's
it's
gone
cheap.
up between the time that I bought it for my son.
Ooh.
And so I'm kind of wondering if this is Bezos hiding the tariff.
Could be.
But
Could be. I mean,
yeah.
this probably comes from China as well. So
Yeah.
everything does. Yeah, it is a really good. It has so many features and they keep updating it. Like, that's the other thing. Like, I think you can connect even, like, it has a USB port and you connect stuff there and, like, whatever you need. It's just a really nice device.
Very cool. Okay, then, Patrice, I believe that brings us to your cool thing.
Okay, my cool thing just came out a couple days ago. Actually, the physical copy a little bit earlier this month, but the audiobook that I'm pointing to this very week. It's Craig Allenson's next iteration in the Expeditionary Force series, book 18, plus a couple, because he's done a little, like, in between stories here and there as well, and like an audio drama and stuff like that. I've just started listening to it, so I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen. But I anyway wouldn't, because I don't want to spot it. But if you know the series, I've been waiting since the last book came out. I was like, I want to know what happens next. I want to know what happens to my favorite characters, what happens to Skippy and the crew and the filthy monkeys and all of that. I quote this, like, I quote this series a lot. I talk about, when I talk about humanity, I'm like, yeah, we're all stupid, filthy monkeys, and I mean it. Because we could be so much better, and we are not. So this is really
tell us about the latest adventures of the beer can.
Yes, I will not. You will have to listen to it or read it. It's available in print or in whatever if you want it. But the audiobook version read by R.C. Bright, it was actually why it was delayed, because he was apparently sick. So he, of course, couldn't do the audiobook in time. So it got delayed by about a month, but worth it. It's just really good book series. It's one of my favorites. I really hope, I mean, they're doing the Murderbot series. This will be another cool thing in the future on Apple TV Plus soon. I think next week even it's coming out, or in 2 weeks, which is also a good series. But I'm really hoping that eventually, and I've heard there's someone optioned the series. So I really hope they will do a TV show eventually, because it's really good.
Yes. Expeditionary Force, sponsored by Budweiser.
No. I mean, and if anything, it would be Marshmallow Fluff, but
but you know Skippy would be doing advertising.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Yes. And skimming off some money somewhere and doing illegal shit with it.
As one does.
As one does, yes. Yes. Trust the awesomeness.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So awesome things all around so far. And now I'm going to go way off in left field with my cool thing. And my cool thing today, Jelly Roll pins like this.
Ooh, yes.
Okay, so here's the deal. They're fun, and it's a gel ink, and you can get tons of different colors. Some of them have metallics, and they're great for just like writing for fun, journaling, whatever. I'm holding up the white one because this is what I use when I need to have white on a drawing that I'm doing. So I can draw on any color paper.
As long as it's black.
Or paint on any color paper. Right. Yeah. Well, actually, it's funny you should say that, because let's say I'm drawing eyes. And so I fill them in black. And then I can take the white pen and I can draw the white highlights on, which is a lot easier than drawing an eye and coloring it in, except for the spot where the highlight is. And you get a much better effect when you use a pen like this. But they have tons of colors. I use them for art, but you can use them for writing as well. And you can get some great effects, not just for art, but when you're writing. And you can pick up a pen like this one for a couple bucks. And I looked on Amazon a while ago, and you can get packs of pens, like three pens or 20 pens or whatever.
2,000.
You can spend $75 on a set of pens if you want. And you get a lot of colors.
I love that. I have to do that. I love colors.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And they're great. They're a lot of fun and super handy for art. So there you go. And these are from the company that makes this pen is Sakura. It's a Japanese pen company. And they do a bunch of other types of pens, and they do paints and stuff too. But there you go. They're jelly roll pens.
I love
All
to roll
right.
pens.
They're great.
I keep buying
Yes.
them.
And just that is jelly with a G.
Yes, correct. Jelly with a G.
These pens have not gone to prison and reformed themselves into a superstar.
They have not, but there's still time.
Oh my God. Okay, yes.
Yep. I got that reference. Yep. Okay, so with that, it is now time for us to wrap up. Thank you to the three of you for making my Friday morning so much fun. The three of you are absolutely awesome. And whenever we are in the same place at the same time, I have a big hug for each one of you, consensual, of course.
I'll take
And
bourbon.
it's all right. Well, it'll be a bourbon hug. And for Ben,
That's sticky.
that means, well, yeah, it, yeah, well, yeah, Ben, that means that your hug is going to go on just a little bit longer, just long enough that at least for everyone around us, it gets kind of awkward.
Yeah. Ben, whisper in his ear, daddy like.
Yeah. Oh, did it just get hot in here? Ooh.
Ben just fell out of camera.
Yeah. Well, maybe it got really hot there too. Anyhow, okay. So, speaking of Ben, where can people find you?
Stage left.
Right. Yeah. No,
Yeah.
left.
Also known as at Ben Rithig on your social media choice, and on podcasts such as this one, In Touch with iOS of Dave Ginsberg, and Mac Voices Live if I ever get a Tuesday off again.
Well, we can live in hope. Yep. Marty, where can people find you?
Gensius, Gencius at mastodon.social or Gencius at Blue Sky. The catch me Tuesday nights on Mac Voices with Chuck, Thursday nights with David Ginsberg on In Touch with iOS, and Monday night is the big project that I do, Vision Profiles Weekly with Eric Bolden at 9 p.m. Eastern. But you can pick that up anywhere outside of that time zone and time place through YouTube or your podcast servers. Other projects I'm involved in, way too many podcasts that I'm doing right now, but you can find out about them at thepodtalk.net.
Awesome. And Patrice, your turn. Where can people find you?
Well, usually yes at Retro Rewatch, exactly. Thanks, Marty. But usually actually this on this very show, Fridays here on the Mac Show, Thursdays on the Big Show, thepatrice.com for all the links to projects, podcasts, social medias, all of that. And yeah, as mentioned, Retro Rewatch. We are in the middle of Stargate SG-1, Jeff and I mean we, I mean Jeff and I. Or I also have the mug. Right now, I think the next episode we publish Spirits, and the next episode should be Touchstone. So that's gonna be an interesting one. And then there's some really cool ones coming after that. So stay tuned. Yeah, that's for the most part it.
Awesome. And I can't wait to see what we say or hear what we say about the next episode, Touchstone.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. I believe it's now my turn to say where you can find me. So when I'm not fantasizing about that awesome hug Ben and I are going to have, you can find me on social media and I'm jgamut pretty much everywhere. I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram. No, I keep saying Instagram.
Pixel fed.
Yes, I have an Instagram account, but I've transitioned to posting my images on PixelFed instead. That means I'm going to have to really think about what I want to do when the end of the year rolls around and I do the Lego Advent calendar, because people do expect to see that on Instagram. So I may have to do like a cross post thing where that's on Instagram as well, because there's a lot of people.
Or they get a teaser on Instagram and they get the extra story on PixelFed.
Oh, I like how you think. Okay, I have a new strategy. So then outside of social media, let's talk podcasts. Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS, here on the British Tech Network for The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. Ran out of breath. Okay, then, thank you for the reminder. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine, and then Patrice Brendamore and I do Retro Rewatch, and even with all the shows that I do, I don't get to spend enough time with all of my friends online.
Yeah. All right. If someone is looking for a really awesome writer, teacher, whatever you need, I know Jeff is available and on the market. Well, and Ben.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yep. I am in the market and freelance, but you know, if I find the right full-time gig, I am going to be all over that.
Yeah. So hire Jeff.
Yeah. But thank you for the endorsement. Okay. So with that, thank you again to the three of you for making my Friday so much fun. Everyone that's been watching or listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here and being part of this with all of us as well. Everyone that watches and listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family. And if I'm talking about family, well, we need to talk about the head of that family. And while Ben's thinking, oh, it's me. Ewan, thank you for being you. And Mueller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And hey, Patrice, thanks again for all the hard work you put into making the live stream and live chat work. And with that, I want to remind everyone that they should come back next Thursday for the Big Show, and then again on Friday for the Mac Show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.